This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here. It is our grown-up gift-less text-to-win contest on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WSS. Your chance to win a stay at the Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells this hour in our statewide contest.
I think it's called the Chula Vista.
Chula Vista.
Chula Vista. And people are like, where the hell's that? Chula Vista, down in the Dells. All right, this hour's keyword is toy. T-O-Y, toy. Download the Civic Media app. Find our station and use the text button at the bottom of your screen to send the keyword toy for your chance to win this hour's prize.
Plus, you can qualify to win one of 8 grand prizes on our grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us.
All right, one more time, that word is toy. What you got to do is get the Civic Media app if you haven't done so already. Choose your station, WGBW or WISS. Text the word toy before 8 o'clock for your shot to win. And then your next chance to play is coming up this morning after 11 o'clock with Jane, Matt, and Aaron, Greg Bach. We can't mention this enough.
We want to beat them.
We want to beat John and Gordy in Madison. Yeah. So we need
Christmas.
You to text.
Come on, people.
Yeah, give us a gift.
Text guys, in right now. Gift. Why do it now? Why do it now?
Let's.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Put them away.
Tom Trzewicki.
Merry Christmas.
Bayside Ice and Marine Recovery. This is a very important time of year.
We talk about your industry all the time. And it's on the front page of the paper. And Tom, you are with Bayside Ice and Marine Recovery. You have seen some stuff.
Oh, yes.
And I just gotta, I don't want to sound, why do people go on the ice if it's, they're gonna fall through?
Well, I don't think that's the plan, Jim.
But aren't there enough, don't you guys give plenty of warnings? Don't they go to the bait shop and how's the ice? I mean, you just went through something, right?
Yes.
Tell me, I just want to get this. John, I understand what you're saying, that their plan isn't to fall through, but are you ever shocked, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe this ice broke? Isn't it usually like, hey, that was pretty thin ice?
Oh, yes. It's unpredictable out there. Never know what you're going to come across. You could have 2 feet in one place, and 100 feet away, you could have open water.
Wow.
It's always changing.
So what should someone do so they have a successful time out on the ice? Is it talking to the bait shop? Is there a meter or something or what?
A lot of people get on social media and they will ask how a particular body of water is, Shawano Lake. Well, how's the lake?
Well, it's huge.
The lake has 3 areas that could be wide open even in the middle of winter. So you could say 6 inches and that person could go out there.
Right.
And find one of them open spots if they're new to the ice. The locals know the lake's pretty good. But excuse to get me. On Facebook or social media for ice conditions, you're better off with the bait shop or being with somebody that does know that lake.
Right. Somebody local, like you said, that's a really good point. Because the weather pattern has changed. I mean, would you agree with that?
It's we can't say it's global warming, right. But it's climate change. Okay. Definitely.
Okay,
yes.
And that's affecting what we're seeing here, right? Because it's different than it was 25 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, from 25 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, you had good old fashioned winters. We had a January thaw. It lasted 1 or 2 days. You got a little snowpack disappear. Now when it thaws, every bit of snow that you gained is not there. And ice can be the same way. Right. So
but people just have this love for being on the ice fishing. You know, I mean, it's
a tradition with a lot of guys, isn't it though, Tom? I mean, it really is. It goes back 70 years.
It's like deer hunting.
Yep. It just is.
Yes.
Tom, what are some of the warning signs where you say to yourself, and I know there's Facebook and everything, but just in general, like weather conditions leading, like, okay, I want to go ice fishing next Thursday. What things should you look for between now and then that should be a red flag in your head if, in fact,
you
recognize it?
I'm going to throw this out there right away.
Okay.
Towards this weekend, we're going to have a couple cold nights. What little bit of ice we have in the inner bays will be walkable if you're careful. But into next week, close to Christmas, we're going to have some
warming up
35, 40-degree days. And the ice that we gained, maybe them two cold nights, we might not lose much ice this time of year, but we're not going to gain ice either. And you get a little bit of sun on a 40-degree day, that ice will, the thickness will be there, but the ice will start to bend. And you can't say honeycomb, not in January, December, but it'll get to a weakened state.
That's the thing. Just drilling that hole and seeing how many inches of ice are there, that doesn't tell the whole story, does it?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't think I could walk on an inch of ice anymore, but when I was younger, I could. But an inch of blue ice is stronger than spring ice that's all honeycombed. We did a job years ago up in Door County. 14 inches of honeycomb ice would not support my weight.
Wow.
I was pushing my foot right through it.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, Al Sampson and I talked about that. Al had a healthy respect. Well, I'm not saying he was afraid of it, but he had a healthy respect for ice. And like I said, when we would drive, he'd always tell me to keep one hand on the handle to throw the door open if you hear a crack. What are some other things people, if nothing else, if they are going out, what are some precautions they should have in mind?
Early ice, you need a spud. You should fish with somebody else. You need a charged cell phone. You need a noise-making device.
Al used to carry an air horn. Those compressed air.
You need an air horn. You need a whistle. These ice picks that go around your neck for a self-rescue, they're like two little ice picks that on little handles. They've been around for probably 50 years. They work very well.
That's not that expensive, and that's a great thing to have with you.
They're
not
$4 or $5,
right?
Yes.
And it doesn't take up a lot of room. It's not annoying, and that is when if you would fall through, you would grab that, and that would put your on the ice, right?
Yes.
To pull you out. Yeah, that's a cool. I'm not
one
a nice
thing I'll do, Jim, and this is something that you brought up, and not to make light of this or anything like that, but like when you were doing, the polar plunge type thing, and you had to go in and you went underwater. Your clothes get so heavy. And
yes, they do.
It's so hard to do anything, isn't it, once you're...
I just think the shock to the system's unbelievable.
It is. Float suits, if you can afford one, they're expensive, but it's your life we're talking about. That float suit will insulate you to a point, but it will get you buoyant enough that you're going to be higher in the water.
Yeah.
A pair of Carhartts. Years ago, we did one on Shawano Lake. They weighed this young guy's Carhartts on the scale at the hospital. He survived, of course. 70 pounds.
Wow.
So Carhartts are not swimwear a choice, even though they're warm. They're warm if you're not in the water. These float suits are filled with foam. They're not filled with regular insulation that will soak up. Very good investment.
What gives you like a little shiver down your spine when the weather is a certain way, but you know people are going to be heading out?
On Green Bay, I know most of the bad spots. And if I hear people work in that area, it can be pretty scary just thinking about some of these people.
How about the ships when the shipping season lasts late into the year? How much damage does that do to the ice?
It's what will happen even with good ice. Say we have, a foot to 15 inches, good ice for walking, UTVs, some cars, smaller trucks. But when a ship goes through, it cuts a channel through the ice. And if the wind blows from the right direction, say this channel is 100, 150 feet wide, that ice can move that distance where it will separate from one shore to the other, depending on wind direction, which basically can strand people or a group of people. So
that's where you hear about the ice flows and the people having to
re-bridge. Right. Okay. Yes.
Wow. I mean, there's a lot more to this than just heading out with your spud and your auger and finding a place to fish.
Yes. Small lakes are generally much safer than Green Bay. Green Bay, you got to remember, this place is connected to Lake Michigan. Yeah. It's an inland sea. Things really can move around out there in a quick hurry.
Are there warning signs, easels, anything you guys put up? Say this, like, you know, when you go boating in the in the summer, there's, you know, the buoys and tell you this is shallow. Do you guys do that with ice? I'm obviously not an ice fisherman at all.
On Green Bay, there is none. Years ago, there was tree roads out there for the commercial fishermen. Winnebago still has tree roads, and it saves lives. If you know how to read the trees, they point in different directions, that they will warn you of cracks. Cracks can happen.
Yeah.
Any given second.
I'll tell you what, you want to talk about the first time, you want to talk about hairs on the back of your head, when you hear it cracking or moving.
Shifting.
The shifting, that sound that thing makes is eerie, isn't it?
It's like rolling thunder.
It is.
It is.
And people stay out there. It's like that's just part of the ice shifting.
If the ice is thick, it could get pretty dramatic.
It really does.
I've seen it. We were fishing out of the East Shore years ago. And me and my dad heard it, and it was from one end of the bay to the other. We came in, and it was pushed up like 7-8 feet for miles and miles and miles. Yeah. And we worked a way around it, but it was dramatic.
So you're what's the word I'm looking for? Connection with ice fishermen is you're a rescue guy.
Yes.
Did you ice fish? I mean, let's talk about some of the upsides of ice fishing. Fresh fish or fun or, I mean.
And by the way, we're with Tom Drzwicki, Bayside Ice and Marine Recovery.
I'm good. Why do people do it? That's.
The fishing, it's tradition. Their parents or grandparents did it. It's a way to get out there with buddies and have fun.
Right.
Out on the ice. Bring your dog along. Sometimes the kids got to be safe about it, but it could be a family
event.
That's
nice. Yes. We talked about getting through the winter here in Wisconsin, and you got to find things to do. Yeah. And if ice fishing is one of them, it can be safe.
True story or urban legend? Guy was sturgeon spearing, and he had his dog with him, and the dog saw something, and he jumped in, and he lost his bearings to get back out. But there was another hole. There was a shanty next to him, and he came up with a hole. The guy had a heart attack. Is that a true story or urban legend?
I heard that many times.
Okay. Love it. Yes. All right, let's make it true. We'll put it under the true
column. Tom Drzwicki, Bayside Ice and Marine Recovery. Yeah. Stick around, okay, Tom?
Yes.
Back after this. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bullseye. The kid don't play.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started. Kick my juice. If there was a problem, yo,
I'll solve it. Check out the hook while DJ revolves it. Ice, ice, baby. Hey, welcome back. My name is the Mayor here with Tom Drzwicki. Bayside Ice and Marine Recovery. We've got Daryl Burnett from the Automobile Gallery coming up in just a few minutes with a great story about the car from A Christmas Story. We've got Noel Halverson, President, NeighborWorks Green Bay, and Terry Barr, Slice of Wisconsin.
I have to tell you that Jim was just kind of jigging and dancing to Ice Ice Baby.
I haven't heard that in a while. I missed that. That's good, too.
From Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
Hey, you know,
Ice is my guy.
I don't know if he still has a TV show, but I liked his TV show.
Yeah.
He became a home remodeler.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting show done in Florida, these big old mansions and everything.
Vanilla
it's
Ice? A good show.
Yeah.
Vanilla Ice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hey, we're talking with Tom Drzwicki, and I know we have to, you know, it's the morning show, family friendly, but you rescue people. You pulled bodies out of the water.
Not very often.
But you have. I mean, just recently. And
yes.
And what, do you look at that and say, what the hell were you thinking? Or do things, like, why this recent one? We don't have to mention his name, but what happened there?
Fished his whole life, elderly man. He pushed the weather. We had a few cold nights, made some ice. We had a couple days of warm weather. The day fell in, I think it was 51 degrees. Our 2-3 inches of ice that we had got very soft, and the ice just bends, and there was a little spot. He fell in, and...
And it wasn't that deep, huh?
No, it wasn't.
Let's talk about what could he have done, right? He could have gone with someone, right?
If you'd have gone with someone, it would have been a lot different, yes.
Or maybe had the pick so he could help himself out? I'm just thinking, this guy didn't make it, but what could he have done? And obviously going with someone, I think that's really good advice, is find a friend to go with.
Yes, if he would have had some picks, a younger gentleman would have crawled right out of there, even with no picks.
Tom, we talked about the different things. You talked about, you know, the warm weather and the sun hitting on it. But snow can actually be a detriment. Isn't that true sometimes, as far as being able to see exactly what's there and also insulates the ice and keeps it warmer?
Well, we got something playing out right now.
Okay.
We have only in some of the bays and even the lakes, you have very, very thin ice in spots. If we get 4 to 8 inches of snow in the next couple days, and it's not that cold, it will sink that ice, temporarily making it weak in all kinds of water. But if you have a bunch of cold weather right after that, it will freeze up pretty good. But into next week, 35, 40 degrees after this snow on top of that ice, it's going to make a mess.
Wow. You mentioned something, too, and I did not know this, about some of the inland lakes that basically have rivers running through them. Explain that.
Well, the Fox River runs through Poygan, Winneconne, Butamore. These are shallow lakes with known channels to the locals. But if you're on that lake, you could have 10, 12 inches of ice, even 20 inches of ice. But where that river channel is, all winter long,
it's moving.
That's moving, and them are some bad spots you need to stay away from.
And like you said, the locals know where they are, but if some tourist comes up, they wouldn't know.
Right.
Wow.
Back to the upside. What do they catch? Yeah, like what kind of fish are they catching?
Perch, walleye?
Well, yes. Perch are the most popular. Walleye are good.
Northerns?
Northerns, closer to spring. What's really taken off in Green Bay is the whitefish. Years ago, nobody went hook and line for whitefish, but it's getting to be a very big thing, even with the guides on the East Shore.
You got to know how to cook those, though. They're a little bit of a slimier fish. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you got to know how to really cook
them. Whitefish is pretty versatile. You can bake it, broil it, fry it. You can smoke it. So,
do people still throw lawyers on the ice and then other people come and collect them?
There's not many lawyers left on, at least on Green Bay.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Years ago, that was a big thing to me.
Yeah, I'm okay with lawyers
that was,
on the ice.
It's a nickname for it. I don't even know what kind of fish it would be considered. I don't even know what, it's not even a fish hardly. It's
The name is a burbot. Everybody calls it a lawyer.
Because they're bottom feeders.
Freshwater.
Okay, now I get it.
They do have nicknames and reasons for nicknames. Yes.
Jim, think about it. Without the fishermen out there, you wouldn't have your Friday night fish.
That's true. And perch is awesome. And I didn't know that this was big perch. So,
and they're back, aren't they? The perch are back.
Yes,
they're coming back.
Yes. Well, Tom, always a pleasure having you on here. Just give people some words of advice with the way you see the forecast over these next couple of weeks.
Get that float suit for Christmas.
Yeah.
Get them ice picks around your neck.
Yep.
Get that cell phone charged. Get that whistle. Go with a buddy. Tell people where you're going. Tell your wife or your kids you're going to check in every hour on what you're up to. Don't just go out there in the morning and I'll see you at 9 o'clock tonight.
And don't explore, right? What I mean? This isn't the time to be adventurous.
No.
That's great advice. I mean, bring a buddy, bring the picks, and talk to the locals.
Yes.
Stop at the bait shop. And those guys are so friendly anyway.
Right.
They want to talk to you. So, yeah. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a safe ice fishing season. I don't want to put you out of work, but
quick question: we just got a text here. How does this guy get paid? Interesting career choice, Todd. Who pays you to take out, like, if a truck goes in or an ATV?
Well, if insurance covers most of the newer vehicles.
Okay.
Which is good because it gets pricey.
I can imagine.
If a person doesn't have any insurance, then something needs to be worked out.
But do you actually go into the water, you yourself?
Oh, yes.
In what? What do you wear?
Well, we wear dry suits. If we need to strap on the scuba gear in deeper water, yes, we do all that.
So you're that guy that goes in there and hooks it up? And
I don't do it as much as I used to.
Sometimes. I didn't want to say anything, but it's like,
we have techniques now that we don't have to get in the water all the time. So, yes.
And I always want to take a ride in your airboat. I think that would be cool.
Oh, yes.
But interesting career choice. Like, how did you get into this? I mean, did you grow up saying, hey, look, I want to pull people out of the water?
I've been a commercial fisherman my whole life. So we've been on the ice. I bought a house in Suamico 35 years ago. The first year I bought my place, 4 people fell in right in front of my house.
Oh, my gosh.
And I always wanted to get into the business.
And you're in it.
Right in your backyard. They're coming to you.
The next year I was in business.
How many years now?
34.
Beautiful. Yes. Tom Drzewicki, thanks for everything you do. Bayside Ice and Marine Recovery. And I hope not a single one of our people out there listening ever has to call you.
Right.
All right, buddy.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Right. You got it. When we come back, Daryl Burnett from the Automobile Galaxy will be joining us. Back after this.
Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stumble road, I'm going to take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
For WGBW and WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale.
Batten down the hatches, make sure the snowblower is gassed up and ready, and get those shovels out of the back of the garage. Winter Storm Asher is expected to make its arrival Thursday morning throughout the area. Northeast Wisconsin will see snow between 4 and 7 inches, starting mid-morning Thursday and continuing through the night. Travel is expected to be affected.
Record holiday travel numbers are projected for Wisconsin. According to the AAA, nearly 2.4 million Wisconsinites will travel 50 miles or more from home between December 21st and New Year's Day, breaking the previous all-time high set last year by over 76,000 people. Nearly 90% of those travelers will drive to their destinations. Nationally, AAA forecasts that 107 million people will take a holiday road trip of 50 miles plus, just missing the all-time mark set in 2019. They also expect air travel to set a new record this holiday season. The Green Bay Area Public School District is under fire from a parent who claims the district is failing her son, who was diagnosed with dyslexia. She claims he's not getting the support and one-on-one resources needed because he's white. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty sent a letter to the district asking for removal of a policy in the King Elementary School Success Plan that under literacy reads, quote, intentional work educating our focus students, prioritizing additional resources to First Nations, Black, and Hispanic students. The school district acknowledges receiving a letter from Will and says it is investigating the allegations. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversation. I'm Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here, 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS. And, of course, worldwide with the Civic Media app. Special thanks to Tom Drzewicki, Bayside Ice and Marine Recovery. And, boy, some great tips he put out there
for
with this weather getting cold and then warm and cold and warm. So
need to discourage it. He didn't discourage getting on the ice. Smart. Just be smart about it. Take precautions. It's a family tradition. Keep doing it. Bring your kids, grandkids, but be smart about it.
Yep. Yeah. Daryl Burnett joining us right now from the Automobile Gallery. And if Daryl's here, there's something exciting taking place at the Automobile Gallery. And this sounds... And I, by the way, I forget what happened, but I missed a heck of a party, from what I understand, at your place during the Italian... Was it the Italian or the German?
Well, Festa Italiana, but then Oktoberfest on September 29th.
That's what it was.
Right?
Yeah, that's the one.
It was great.
We had a lot of fun there. That was a lot of fun.
And we took 10 minutes out to mourn the fact that you weren't there, John, and then we went on with the party.
We go on with the party. And the food, the beer, and everybody who brought their car, they love, it's like your own individual showing. You know, they just really want to brag about it, and well, really brag, but just tell you about it. And they'll tell you how much they spent for it, which is like really cool. It's like, wow, you got a good deal on that thing. He goes, I know I did. That's why I bought it. But just a lot of neat cars there. And of course, German cars. I've heard
from so many people on both of the shows that we do that they love coming here because many of them go to these national events and the tension is so great and the competition is so great. Yeah. Here they actually let their hair down a little bit and just have a great time, which is what the intent was all along.
Yeah.
You know what? I talk about jobs that I think I'd be good at and the jobs I'd be the worst person in the world for. Mm-hmm. Mine for the worst,
talk about that.
The worst person in the world would be the guy that has to drive the cars in where you get about 6 inches of space on each one and not hit it because it's a $189,000 car. Who does that, Daryl?
It is an art.
I believe it.
And those gentlemen deserve all the credit and women too. We've had some women haulers, but you're absolutely right. You know, sometimes the clearance is like 2 inches on either side of the car.
Close. And you had it was beautiful weather that weekend, but I don't know if they were all reserved, but there were people still showing up trying to find a spot. We had a lot of cars there.
Oh, right? Yes.
Yeah, a couple hundred cars.
We had close to 200 cars there for that. So we're quickly becoming one of the top events in the Midwest.
And I think that was cool how the city worked with you and you closed off the street. I mean, that's nice because it just makes your footprint, you know, much larger. And it was so easy to get around. So it was, you hit it
on the head, too. We were so blessed this year with weather. Fantastic weather for every event we had this year, so we're very blessed.
Well, tell us a little bit about this new one, the Christmas theme here. This is interesting.
Well, as I'd like to say, we have a 100-story building in downtown Green Bay, and we hope you enjoy every one of them. And I was just captivated by this story. As you know, we have about a 3-year waiting list for cars to get in the gallery. So I get an errant call out of the blue one day from Brian Fox in Germantown, Wisconsin, saying, I think I have a car you might be interested in. So I immediately informed Brian that, well, there's quite a waiting list.
Yeah.
And then he told me what he had, and my wheels started turning, and I thought, wow, let's
you
put
might be
together
jumping
a
to the head
Christmas
of the list.
Story display at the gallery, and that's what we've done. His wife, Sandy Fox, inherited her father, Dwayne Gooden's 1937 Oldsmobile F37 sedan. Just like in the movie A Christmas Story.
That's
so we have the 12-foot Christmas tree. We have the Red Ryder 200-shot BB gun in the back window.
Oh, my God.
A movie poster. We have it all at the gallery. And I found the story as fascinating as the movie because the movie was not a big hit because it happened to come out at the same time that Never Say Never Again with Sean Connery's return to James Bond. So it was mainly out of theaters by the time Christmas hit in 1983.
I was telling Jim, I remember taking my daughter in Flint, Michigan and taking my daughter to that movie.
But it had legs, and now between 25 and 30 million people a year watch it on TBS, you know, running at a 24-hour loop.
That's become as much of a family tradition as almost anything that there is. I mean, really and truly.
And there's so many one-liners coming off of that.
Fragile.
Fragile.
Yeah. How many things have people used forever? Isn't it, though? Isn't it many?
And, you know, the interesting thing, too, is that the movie studio, MGM, actually wanted Jack Nicholson to play the role, but they were scared of the salary he was going to demand. And can you imagine anyone but Darren McGavin playing that role of the old man?
No. I can't see. Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all.
Is the car there? When is this available?
It's right there for you now because, you know, the only thing better than the morning bliss I had with Mino and the Mayor in the morning is standing in the presence of this car.
I bet.
And the wonderful story attached to it is Dwayne, Sandy's father, passed away December 27th of 2022. So there's some poetry attached to this. And he said, I want to be buried in my car. And Sandy and Brian decided a better resting place would be the Automobile Gallery and Event Center. But it's a great tribute to Dwayne. And I love when the children come and also the adults because they start quoting lines from the movie.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine how annoying it would be to go look at that? Oh, God, Mino's here. Got to listen to this line from every the movies. Hey, tell me, what's the cost to this? When's it available? Because this is a nice little stop for your Christmas holiday when you're with the kids. You'll take a little break from shopping. And
a stop and a drive-by because we have the infamous leg lamp lit up 24 hours a day. And you can drive by our front window at night and see it illuminated.
Oh, that's awesome.
But during the day, you can come between 9 and 3 at the Automobile Gallery and Event Center and see it. And
that's
the interesting tie to you guys is the original screenwriter, Gene Shepard, was actually a much traveled radio host who, long before talk radio, had a habit of routinely getting fired because he would tell stories instead of play music.
Oh, wow.
And
John?
It led to a series and vignettes of short stories that turned into the screenplay.
Wow.
That is cool. Now enshrined in the Library of Congress as part of modern culture. Is that not a great story?
That's fantastic. Awesome. So did he take really good care of this car? I mean, was it like a collector's item for him too, or had it been used at one time? The one that you have in the museum?
I refer to it as lovingly original.
Okay.
It would not be a car that you would look at and say, this is a 100-point car at all, but it has a lot of character, a lot of patina to it.
Beautiful.
Just like the old man's car. And I love the quote from the movie. Ralphie's saying, some are Catholics, some are Baptists. My old man was an Oldsmobile man.
That is classic.
That is.
Daryl, I mean, do you get people on a regular basis saying, hey, I got something. Hey, I got something. Hey, I got something.
Several times a week.
Yeah, that's what I mean, yeah.
And that's wonderful because in the early days, days being, seven years ago, I was making all the calls. Now the calls all come in and it's really nice.
You got to give yourself a lot of credit for branding that where people, and people who have cars, they want to show them off. They don't want them sitting wherever they are. And it really started with Red Lewis. I mean, he had cars and he wanted to share it with the community. And now you got people calling you. And I think these festivals you're doing to theme it, you're really onto something. And if you tie in a little food and music, people love those experiences.
Well, that's one trait I tried to bring to the job was I appreciate everything. And it doesn't have to be expensive, but it does have to have a story.
Right.
And we never run dry of stories like this one. You know, if I had taken a traditional approach, this car wouldn't be on display right now. And what a conversation piece.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this is something. I mean, it's like me dealing with the veterans or military type thing. This is your real passion. I mean, you've always been a really passionate car guy, haven't you?
I have. Yeah. Yes. From the time I would pick up a magazine in the school library back in seventh grade, something about cars just captivated me. And I've never lost that. But I've learned how to separate passion from compulsion. And there's a difference. You know, some people become so in love with the car. I become in love with the story and the history behind the cars because someone somewhere, and Jim, you can appreciate this teaching business at NWTC, someone made that and they made a part of it or they bolted something on the pride and the history that remains. And to run into someone who worked at a factory in Flint or Jackson or Detroit, Dearborn, and know that something they made 40, 50, 60 years ago is still on the road. To me, that's very touching.
I still think it's cool that, like, just some of the backstories you told us, like, about the limousine that President Kennedy was shot in. You'd think that would have been, like, the most preserved thing. I mean, it was the darkest day and, you know, one of the darkest days ever. But didn't you say it was kept being used and Johnson did something with it?
Yeah, President Johnson set a standard that is now commonplace. He had it painted black. So now all government vehicles ever since that time have been painted black.
But what color was it originally?
It was a midnight blue. And JFK loved the color blue. And he himself was a Pontiac driver. He was not a Cadillac or Lincoln man. He was a Pontiac driver. And, you know, the great thing about that car is it stayed within the government until the Carter administration, when it was finally phased out in different forms.
That's crazy, isn't it? I mean, you think that would have been at, you know, some prestigious kind of whatever. And,
well, even crazier is after it happened, the fateful experience in Dallas, a gentleman was assigned to drive the car physically back to Washington, D.C. How would you like to be that person?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And didn't like a guy like that find a spent bullet or something in the car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Interesting stuff. Okay, Daryl Burnett from the Automobile Gallery here. Join us. We'll talk more about this. I've got the exact same truck that you'll see in the Christmas story on display there.
So many other things you have there, too. I mean, that's a great thing. But I like how you change up your inventory.
Recently, I brought in 40 new vehicles.
We got to talk about some of the stuff you have there. That's awesome.
You guys are like, you guys don't take any time off, do you? I mean, you wouldn't think of winter as being a big car collector's type of mecca place, but it really is, isn't it?
It is. You know, wow. 12 months a year, 7 days a week.
Okay, are you one of those people that if somebody calls about something really cool, you ever say, I'd be willing to buy that from you?
Occasionally.
Okay.
But I think there's a lot to do here in Green Bay, and, you know, Lambo is a big attraction, but man, if you want to see something just really cool, and you said you're a seventh grade boy who liked cars. I think the majority of seventh grade boys like cars. Yeah. And I think everybody's got an affinity to kind of look and see what you have. And the variety there is unbelievable. I just really hope people take advantage of that over the holidays, and especially with this car here. That's so awesome.
Daryl Burnett, Automobile Gallery, downtown Green Bay. Back with more right after this.
Randolph ain't too far behind.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Minor the Mayor here at WGBW and WISS in downtown Oshkosh and Green Bay. Daryl Burnett, Automobile Gallery, joining us talking about the 1937 Oldsmobile that they've got at the Automobile Gallery right now, an exact match for the exact car that they used, of course, in the Christmas story. You can come in and get your picture taken with it, correct?
Oh, yes.
All right.
I would love to drive one of those vehicles. I never got to drive anything. Like, my first car was a Chevy Chevette. So I never had, you know, and my mom and dad had some bigger cars and stuff like that. But, man, can you imagine driving that down the road?
Can you imagine trying to parallel park in those days?
Well, you know, some of those were 18 to 20 feet long back
then. That's what I mean.
Yeah. Those
1950s garages that were
one car. Fins on the back. Well, you know, that's awesome. Weren't they even like 22 feet, some of those Cadillacs?
Over 20 and a half feet 20 and a half was feet. Just okay. about the longest, yeah.
And besides this car that you have there, though, you talk about the convertibles you brought in.
Oh, we have a 1950s display of convertibles right now. And not just a display. We were talking before the break about how we try to take it up a notch. So we have the 1955 Pontiac Starchief convertible that General Motors used in the Motorama in 1955. And a lot of the listeners may have forgotten this, but back in the day, General Motors would take their cars around the country, and you could come to a venue and be able to see the new models that were coming out. So this is a one-of-one made especially for that event. We've got a 1959 Buick Electra 225. We've got a 1960 Dodge Phoenix convertible that came out of Minnesota.
Yeah.
So we put together quite a display over there. And, you know, it's, again, about bringing something that you will not see anywhere else. That's what we take the greatest pride in.
And you said, and I think you that was a great analogy that you made, that you know, cars can hearken you back to a wonderful time, like music.
Right.
You know, we talk about music. It's like, oh my God, that was a great time of the country. And you can look at cars, and I just, some people must just stand there and just memories going through their mind, because it's, and your cars, the other thing, like, it's, they're in such a great shape. I mean, I don't know what we make people do, but those cars are impeccable.
Well, thank you for noticing that, Jim, because we really do. Not only bring them in, and they're usually in excellent condition, but we have a tremendous pit crew that keeps these cars impeccably detailed. But you're right. Music and cars define times in our lives, eras, and we have people who spend hours. And that's the reason I never take a storyboard for granted. I've written over 300 storyboards, and I try to treat each one as if it was the first one I was writing, because, you know, we have people from New Zealand and Australia coming in who will never be here ever again. They're coming one time. Right. I want to make sure they leave with a warm feeling.
I just want to read this one thing from my World War II book, 50 Strong, or my book, 50 Strong. Richard Jenkins, wonderful gentleman from Oconto, but he was in the Czech Republic at the end of the war, okay? I just love this story. The Czech people wanted to throw a huge parade in the city of Pilsen to celebrate their freedom from the Germans. My job was to get a car ready for one of the dignitaries. Well, the car we got a hold of had been one of Hermann Göring's convertible Mercedes. The only problem was that the transmission was shot, so he stole a transmission from a different car and got it running for the parade. The dignitary was Jack Benny, the comedian. All these newspaper guys went... We're going over to the damn place and ask him what he thought about Göring's Mercedes. Benny said, "Well, it was all right, but not as good as my old Maxwell back home." Can you imagine what happened to that car?
And to segue off of that story, just Monday, we brought in a 1943 German Kugelwagen, which is reputed to be one of three left in America that was used in the movie Great Escape with Steve McQueen.
Of course.
Longest Day and Guns of Navarone. So you can come to the gallery and see it next to our 1941 fully restored Jeep. So
that is
again,
awesome.
We're bringing history in so people can enjoy it. But, you know, that happened a lot in World War II, because as the war was coming to a close, they were taking the Allied forces were taking those vehicles, making them so they would run, and it's just so much history tied to those.
How many vehicles do you have there, Carol?
Well, in our collection, we have over 200, but we have two storage facilities, and at any given time, 105 to 110 are always on display.
You can spend some time there.
Oh,
I mean,
hours.
Right. It's like people like the Hall of Fame. You go there and it's like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to get out of here in a half hour. And your place too. I just thanks for sharing that. And I'm glad the location's so convenient. And you know, is the bar always open or just for events I go to?
Only for you. and when we have special events.
Oh, special events. Okay. It's just a great place to come and hang out.
We have the bar for special events, and we have over 200 a year. So
they have all these holiday parties going on right now. And you've had campaign parties there and just so many events there, recognition and dinners. And
this is going to sound crazy, but you want to know what type of car I would love to have had from back in the day? The old panel wagons that they used to use for ambulances, like in the 40s and everything.
The closest we have to that, John, is we have a 1929 Model A Huckster, which was used by the hotels to shuttle the luggage and belongings from the train stations to the hotels. But I would love to get a panel wagon in. And those are hot properties right now.
Are they really?
Oh, yes.
But you see them in every movie.
Yes.
Every old cop movie ever would ever remember.
Oh, yes.
Good stuff. Daryl Burnett, man, you got a cool job.
You do.
Well, likewise. Back at you guys.
We'll trade you anytime, Daryl.
This is my holiday merriment coming here with Mino and the Mayor.
Hey, guys, John, we're missing that GTO. Daryl, thanks for everything. Automobile Gallery, folks, you got to stop down. We'll talk more about that. But, Daryl, always a pleasure having you here. Neil Halverson, president of NeighborWorks Green Bay, coming up. Terry Barr coming up. Back after this. All the way,
bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.